Picture this. You are on final. 3 miles out, the runway is in sight and the precision approach path indicator, or PAPI, is showing 3 whites and 1 red. You are high. Not by a lot, maybe 150 feet. You push the nose down a little. Now you're at 85 knots and the book says 70. You pull back. You still have not brought in the last notch of flaps. The runway keeps getting bigger. And somewhere in the back of your mind, a voice says, I can make this work. That moment, that decision, is what we are talking about today. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. And today we are digging into the unstabilized approach. What it means, why it matters, what the data says about where it leads, and exactly what the airman certification standards expect from you when things start to go sideways on final. Before we get into it, a quick word for AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private, instrument, commercial, all the way up. Each one is a real keepsake, the kind of thing you hold on to for a long time. If you want to mark the milestones that actually matter in your flying life, check them out at AviationSoul.com. Now, back to that airplane. Here's the thing, most student pilots are never told directly. There are specific, definable criteria for a stabilized approach. And if you do not meet them by a certain point, the right answer is to go around. Not to try harder, not to see if you can pull it off. Go around every time. The airline industry figured this out the hard way and codified it into policy. Nearly every major carrier has a rule that says by 500 feet above field elevation on an instrument approach, or by 1,000 feet above field elevation in visual conditions, the aircraft must meet a defined set of criteria. If it does not, the crew executes a go-around. Not a discussion, not a judgment call. The gate is the gate, and you fly the policy. Now you're flying a Cessna 172, not a Boeing 737, but the physics do not know that, and the principle applies with the same force. So let's define what stabilized actually means. First, you need to be on the correct flight path. On a standard visual approach, that means you're tracking the extended center line of the runway and you're on a 3-degree glide path. If you have a PAPI, 2 whites and 2 reds means you're on slope. All white means you're too high. All red means you're too low. If you have a visual approach slope indicator, or VASI, the mnemonic is red over white, you're all right. Upper bar red, lower bar white means on path. All red means you're dangerously low. All white means you have climbed above the slope. If you have neither, you're using your sight picture, and that is a conversation for another day. But the baseline is the same. You should be where you plan to be. Second, you need to be at the right airspeed for most training aircraft. That is approximately 1.3 times the stall speed in the landing configuration, or whatever your pilot operating handbook recommends for your weight and conditions. In the Cessna 172, depending on weight and flap setting, that is generally somewhere between 65 and 75 knots. You should be there, or close to it, and not chasing it. Not correcting by 10 knots every few seconds. Third, you need to be configured. Gear down if you have retractable gear. Flaps at the setting you intended for the landing. Not still working on it at 500 feet above the ground. Fourth, your rate of descent should be something you can manage. In general aviation training aircraft, that typically means around 500 feet per minute or less. If you are descending at 900 feet per minute with a mile to go, you are not stabilized, and the math does not work out to a good landing. Fifth, and this one gets overlooked, you should be able to maintain all of the above from your stabilization gate to the flare without making large control corrections. Not wrestling the airplane, not chasing the localizer left and right. Small inputs, smooth control, tracking the path. If any one of those criteria is not met at your gate, the answer is a go-around, not, let me see if I can fix it, not, I am almost there. Go around. Here is something I wish someone had said to me clearly when I was training. The go-around is not a failure. It is not an admission that you made a mistake. It is a skill. It is a decision. And the pilots who go around when they need to are demonstrating exactly the kind of aeronautical decision-making that separates thoughtful pilots from pilots who press. The National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, has documented this pattern in detail. In review after review of general aviation accidents, the continued unstabilized approach shows up in the causal chain. The pilot saw the runway. The pilot committed mentally. And then something at the bottom of that approach went wrong because the setup was bad and never got fixed. Hard landings, runway excursions, gear collapses, and in the report every time, there is language like, the pilot did not execute a go-around despite the aircraft being in an unstabilized state. The Aviation Safety Information Analysis and Sharing Program, ASIAS, has the aggregate data. The FAA safety briefing has covered this. The General Aviation Joint Steering Committee has it in their publications. This is a known, documented, preventable accident category. And it is preventable with one decision made at the right moment. So why does it keep happening? Because understanding the problem is different from breaking the habit. A few reasons, and they are worth naming. The first is what pilots sometimes call get-there-itis on approach. You have been flying for an hour, the airport is below you, you are done flying in your head even though you're still in the airplane. You have committed mentally to this landing on this pass, and going around feels like giving up. That feeling is a trap. The runway does not reward commitment. Physics only know the energy state of the aircraft. The second is the sunk cost instinct. You have been on this approach for 3 miles, you have been working it, you almost have it. Turning it into a go-around now feels like throwing away all that effort. But flying does not work that way. You do not get credit for effort on final. You get credit for results. The third is a training gap that is very common. A lot of student pilots practice go-arounds as a discrete drill. The instructor says go around and the student executes. What they do not practice often enough is the self-initiated go-around from a deteriorating approach where the student makes the call without prompting. That is a different skill. That is the one that matters. Here is a practical drill you can do on your next lesson. Ask your instructor if you can practice what the airlines call a self-initiated go-around where they do not tell you to go around, but you pick your own gate and you make your own call. Set that gate at 300 feet above ground level, or AGL, on every approach. At 300 feet, check yourself. Am I configured? On speed? On the glide path? Tracking centerline? If any of those answers is no, go around. Do not negotiate, just go. Do it consistently and it becomes a habit. That habit might be the most important one you build in your entire primary training. Now let's talk about what the Airman Certification Standards say, because this connects directly to your check ride. The ACS for the Private Pilot Certificate addresses the go-around explicitly. The examiner is evaluating whether you recognize when a go-around is necessary, whether you initiate it at the appropriate point, and whether you execute it correctly. Correct execution matters. Let's walk through it. Full power. In most training aircraft, that is full throttle. Do it deliberately and smoothly. In a Cessna 172, there is no need to be delicate about it, but make it a controlled motion and build the habit. Simultaneously, you adjust pitch to arrest the descent and begin the climb. You are not pulling back sharply. You are establishing a climb attitude, which in the 172 is somewhere in the range of 8 to 10 degrees nose up, depending on your airspeed. Carb heat off, if it was on. You need full power, and carb heat reduces power output slightly. Get it off when you go to full throttle. Flaps. This is where students run into trouble. If you are on full flaps, you do not retract them all at once. In the 172 with 30 degrees of flaps, you come up to an intermediate setting first, usually 20 degrees, to reduce drag without killing the lift you still need at a low airspeed close to the ground. Once you have a positive rate of climb established and your airspeed is at or above the speed where it is safe to retract flaps further, then you come to flaps up. This is in your POH. Know your numbers before you fly. Left turning tendencies. At full power in a standard trainer, you have P-factor, torque, and slipstream effect, all working to yaw you left. Right rudder applied proactively to keep the nose tracking straight. This is not an afterthought. At low airspeed, close to the ground, at maximum power, coordination is critical. Once you are established in a positive rate of climb, communicate. If you are at a towered field, tell them. If you are at a non-towered field, announce on the Common Traffic Advisory Frequency, or CTAF. Keep it simple. Cessna 734 Sierra Foxtrot going around. Done. Then give yourself a full pattern if you need it. There is no prize for the tight 270 to get back to the runway faster. Take the time. Fly a complete pattern and give yourself the best chance at a stabilized approach on the next pass. And here is a thought worth sitting with. If you go around twice on the same runway under the same conditions, that is data. The conditions are telling you something. Maybe the wind is gusting and the crosswind is right at your personal limit. Maybe visibility is lower than it looked from cruise altitude. Maybe you are fatigued from a long cross country and your technique has degraded. Whatever the reason, two go-arounds in a row is a signal to consider whether you should be landing somewhere else or landing at all. Now let's talk about the check ride directly, because this is where a lot of students get tripped up on what the examiner actually wants. The examiner on your private pilot practical test is not expecting perfection. Weather shifts. You get a little high on final. A gust pushes you off centerline. Approaches are not always sterile. What the examiner is evaluating is not whether your approach was flawless. They are evaluating whether you recognized what was happening and responded correctly. A student who recognizes an unstabilized approach and executes a clean, coordinated go-around with good power, good pitch, good flap management, and proper communication is demonstrating exactly the aeronautical decision-making the checkride exists to assess. A student who pushes through a bad approach and lands long, lands fast, or lands hard is demonstrating the opposite. Even if nothing breaks, the examiner saw the decision, or the absence of one. There is a phrase that shows up in debrief conversations when an applicant does not pass a practical test. You did not fail because the approach was bad. You failed because you did not recognize when to discontinue it. That is the lesson. The recognition is the skill. One more thing before we wrap up on the checkride. If you are ever genuinely unsure whether to continue or go around, go around. This is not conjecture. This is something the FAA has said directly in guidance for applicants. Going around when in doubt is never a wrong answer. An examiner will never fail a student for going around when they did not strictly need to. They will absolutely note and fail on a student who continued when they should have gone around. When you are in doubt, go around. Let's bring it together. A stabilized approach has defined criteria, on path, on speed, configured manageable descent rate, and small corrections only. Your personal gate for visual approaches should be no lower than 300 feet above field elevation. If you are not stabilized at the gate, you go around? Not sometimes, every time. The go-around is a skill and a decision. Practice initiating it yourself. Drill the execution. Power, pitch, flaps, incrementally. Rudder, climb. Communicate, and remember that the examiner is watching your judgment, not just your stick and rudder. The NTSB accident data, the FAA safety briefing, and the Aviation Safety Information Analysis and Sharing Program all point to the same conclusion. This is a known accident category with a known prevention. The prevention is a habit of making one call at the right moment without hesitation. Information in this segment comes from FAA publications, NTSB accident data, and the current airman certification standards. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Pattern Fly the Gate. Go around when you need to. See you next time.